what was your reaction when you read the news that Federation Square had obtained heritage listing?
I think it had been such a long process to reach this point. So it was very exciting when at long last, the Heritage Council handed down its decision earlier this week.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit? I mean, this is obviously there's a quite an elaborate process that goes into the obtaining of obtaining any sort of heritage listing for a property. Can you tell us how is this sort of process organised?
Sure. So the process with Federation Square, for example, began probably 2 years ago, before the Apple Store was announced for the square. And so just before Christmas in the end of 2017 now, so quite a long time ago, the state government put out a big media release and said, "An Apple Federation Square is coming." And then Apple said, "It's going to be Federation Square by Apple." And that's the future. And there was a huge, huge public backlash towards that. And at the time, a few of us were discussing, and I wrote something about it, that maybe the site is appropriate for heritage, even though it is, as you said, so young. But it actually had begun, the considerations around heritage had actually started a little bit earlier. The National Trust in Victoria had been thinking about heritage at Fed Square because there was with the beginnings of the Melbourne Metro Tunnel. So like Sydney, they're putting in through a new railway, through the CBD, fantastic initiative. And part of that has involved some demolitions at Fed Square. So as soon as that was announced, the National Trust immediately started thinking about it. The Apple Store added a little bit of momentum to it. And then the work began, the listing about in kind of earnest about 18 months ago.
What's interesting also, I mean, with the Federation Square, you have that idea of a public space, of a central public space of a city, which isn't something, I mean, maybe something even in Sydney, we don't really have something, maybe something like the Opera House, but Federation Square obviously has obtained that position. And so would you say that, you know, this decision that Apple to sort of locate an Apple store within it, do you think that this really drove a lot of the drive for heritage, in that the public was concerned about the sort of taking away of that element of public space, that it would just become another space that had another...
I think there is a growing concern in Melbourne, in Sydney, around the world, about the kind of creeping corporatization and privatization of our community spaces, of public spaces, where we can gather without having to buy something, where we can just sit with friends and have a good time without that kind of pressure upon us. And those sites are few and far between. And in Melbourne and Sydney, as we know, they're a scarce commodity because our colonial administrators didn't want them there. They were afraid what would happen if people got together and protested or started to question what was going on. So Melbourne did build a square in the 80s, a city square, and that was a bit of a flop. Federation Square comes after a design competition in the 1990s. At the same time, the city is being rejuvenated, people are moving back into the city centre, as in Sydney, and suddenly this place, irrespective of what people think about the architecture, because the views are mixed among the community, me personally as well, but it kind of became a place that people have claimed as their own, claimed as a public space for the community. But the big question was, and as you alluded to, is can a public space be heritage? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people thought, well, no, it can't. But in this case, they and actually the management of Federation Square thought it couldn't be a public space. They actually tried to argue it against it being a public space and said, well, you can't heritage list a public space. But the Heritage Council said, well, no, you can. And there is a definitive square there. We can identify what it is. And that square also in itself also needs to be protected for the community as well.
So tell us a little bit about how you get the criteria for listing. Is it focused on age, cultural value, aesthetics? What are the sort of main sort of pointers that to determine whether a certain space can be defined as heritage listed?
So that's a great question around how we value places and add them to lists. And Australia has a very distinctive approach to doing this. In fact, we've been very influential around the world in advocating a mode of practice that doesn't involve questions of taste, questions of connoisseurship. Instead, we say, we look at a place and we say, well, what's valuable about it? So we look at historical values, social values, scientific values, spiritual values, aesthetic values, And those are the principles that guide any heritage listing, whether it's in nationally or whether it's in Victoria or New South Wales as well.
So could this possibly be a provided precedent for other future sites, for other sites that maybe aren't? You know, I mean, when I think of heritage listing, I usually think of 100-year-old buildings or locations that really do have a lengthy history. So could this sort of decision actually inspire other totemic spaces to try and aim for a heritage listing?
My view is that heritage needs to be responsive to the community and their wishes. And it needs to be not about something necessarily of the past, so that can be really important. It doesn't necessarily need to be something of beauty, although that's really quite nice as well when something is beautiful. But rather, we need to focus heritage around the idea that what do we want as a community to keep for future generations? And if in the community's view, we want to keep these public spaces and prevent them from being taken over by other interests that are not publicly focused or publicly spirited, well, then I don't see an issue with us pursuing heritage in that particular way to list public spaces.
Now, there's also always a political element involved in this decision of what's determined to be heritage listing in this state, in this city. I mean, we can certainly see that in some of the decisions that are made. So we've got this in Parramatta. So some of the oldest buildings in the actual country are in Parramatta. Yet there's only a handful of areas that have actually got heritage listing. I mean, there's these very old pubs. Yet at the same time, if we were say to go just to the inner city, just around the Rocks area, there's some immensely old things, and you've got those fantastic standstill buildings, but a lot of that has actually obtained some degree of heritage listing, and there's been a lot more sort of government support. Do you think there's a sort of politics always in determining what is defined as heritage listed?
Yeah, so heritage is inherently political in what we value as important, which people decide what should be included on lists. And there is a constant tension, which we always see between around development and heritage, to what extent the community has its right to make a claim on privately owned sites, for example. But for me, our goal with our heritage lists needs to be to make them as representative of the community interests as possible. And sometimes people are not going to be happy about that. Sometimes they are. In terms of political interference, in Victoria, the process has been entirely independent, and the planning minister has not indicated any sort of interest in interfering in the process. But we've seen quite the opposite happen with the Sirius listing, for example, when it was deemed as significant, but the minister did step in and overthrew that decision.
So this is an interesting thing. So if something is obtained heritage listing, is there still we've certainly seen this with metro projects. There's going to be that challenge of development of building things and you know, with old pubs, you know, we might think they're quite, but we also may think, I actually would like that. So a lot of people would also like that transport line. So if someone has obtained heritage listing, is that a permanent feature, or do these things get appealed? And if a particular minister comes in and goes, I'd actually like, there's a train line that can only fit through this area.
I think there's a common misconception around heritage, and that is that heritage is seeking to prevent development and prevent change. And the way that we approach heritage nowadays, the kind of way that we think about it, is that it's not about that at all. It's about guiding change in kind of a sophisticated and responsive way. Around those questions of value, for example. So when we say that Federation Square, we say that the forecourt of the Sydney Opera House is significant as public spaces, well, that doesn't necessarily mean we can't have dramatic physical changes to those environments. It doesn't mean that buildings won't be able to be demolished at Federation Square in the future. What is important is that the guiding principles of what's been listed, so in this case, postmodern architecture more generally, or at Federation Square, or modern architecture that Utzon's work at Sydney Opera House are kept in check, but we can have dramatic changes to a site at the same time.
Well, thank you for being on the show.